Welcome to the Tome Show presents Blood of the Gorgon, Part 2 of 4. This is the Tome Show presents, where we take an in-depth look at a single product or line of products in a series of reports and interviews. This is part 2 of 4 of our look at the 5th open design project entitled Blood of the Gorgon. We have already spoken to prestigious author Nicholas Logue, and today we will speak with the founder of the open design project, Wolfgang Bauer. Okay, enough with the silliness, let's talk some serious. Today you're going to hear from Wolfgang Bauer, who wrote the first 4 open design projects. He's going to talk to everybody about what his role is now that somebody else is writing the book, namely Nicholas Logue, who we've already spoken to in The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon Part 1. He's also going to talk about how things are going and what his job is in this whole process now. After that, I'll be giving my short report on what's been going on as a first-time patron of the project, so you can better understand what the process is like and if it might be something you're interested in doing. But without further ado, Wolfgang Bauer. Okay, I'm here today with Wolfgang Bauer of the Open Design Project, and we're going to be talking a little bit about how things are going with Blood of the Gorgon these days. Wolfgang, welcome back.
Ah, it's good to be back.
So this is the first time, as I understand it, that an open design project has been written by somebody other than you. Is that right?
Right. I mean, originally this was, hey, I'm going to write some experimental stuff, and I'm going to kick around this weird format. But then I went and launched a magazine and said, hey, I need someone else to cover for me for a couple of months for at least one project. And I think it was a patron who recommended Nicholas Logue, and of course I knew his work, and I've seen him working for Paizo's Pathfinder and for WotC, and I just asked him, and he said, sure, absolutely, he'd be happy to do one. So he dived in and pitched a couple of ideas to the patrons. They picked one, and off it went.
Okay, good. So how involved are you then in the project? Since he's doing the writing, what role do you take in this project?
Well, I do all the stuff that normally is not entertaining for the designer, which is bringing patrons in and making sure that they have access to everything, answering their questions. It's making sure that the maps and the art happen. I'm also taking a developer role here, so I'm going to be taking Nick's text and streamlining it, reworking bits of it, trying to strengthen it before it goes off to the editor. Partly that's because the adventure is set in my home campaign, in the default campaign for Open Design, and so I want to make sure it aligns neatly with work that's already appeared on that and work that's still to come.
Okay, great. So have you developed sort of a Bible then for the setting for Zobek?
Yeah, there is a Zobek Bible, and it's starting to look a little bit like a source book. People keep asking me to write the source book, and I keep trying to find the time. Mostly bits and pieces of the setting leak out in Open Design Adventures and in issues of Kobold Quarterly. And everything else is really whatever I need for my home campaign gets written up and put into the Bible.
So maybe the next open design project will be the Zobek Bible.
You know, there was some talk about that, but I think it's not going to happen that way because the setting is fairly idiosyncratic, personal, call it what you want. I don't think it lends itself to having a lot of patrons jump in and offer suggestions and critique because I have something very specific in mind. I think it'll go faster and be a stronger adventure source book if I just write the thing without explaining myself as I go. It's odd. It's the first project in a while that I've said, yeah, that's really not an open design project at all.
Okay, that's fair. So going back to Blood of the Gorgon, the current open design project, how are things progressing so far? How are things going?
Well, I wish I had better news for you. I have to confess to a certain amount of embarrassment that we're not where we wanted to be at this stage. I wanted to ship this final book by the end of May, but I don't think we're going to make it. And it's just a matter of working in a new style, right, where Nick is doing the design work. And also, you may have noticed Nick Logue is just launched a company, Sinister Games. He's taken a job at Paizo and moving across the country. And, you know, he's had a couple of things come up that have slowed down the design. I thought we would be in playtest this week, and we're not ready. So we're going to slip it a couple of weeks. But by and large, I mean, I told the patrons as soon as it was clear to me that, hey, you know, we're not quite there. And people are pretty understanding that sometimes stuff slips. And if you're an open design patron, you're not in it for the immediate gratification anyway. What this basically means is people get a few more weeks of commentary and a few more chances to poke at the adventure. So nobody so far has said, how dare you slip the date?
Okay, good. So the story's more or less been developed at this point, yes?
Oh, the story is developed, the characters are developed, the monsters are developed. I've done some work on my end getting a city map put together, because this is going to be the first time we show off the Zobek city map. I'm working with a cartographer there. There's been a lot of interesting new crunchy bits that Nick has put together, both equipment, some alchemical rule set. And so, yeah, the plot's there, the cult is there. It's just a matter of kind of fine-tuning some of it and getting a challenge level right and getting some of the sequencing of the story right. I've seen the outline. You may have seen the outline as well. And, you know, there's a few story events that don't quite connect completely for me yet. But Nick clearly seems to know where he's headed. So we're close.
Okay, so what are your personal thoughts then on the story so far? How well do they fit into the Zobek that you've developed?
Oh, the mad alchemist and the sort of, I don't know, Jekyll and Hyde gothic style fits in pretty well. The very first Zobek story, Steam and Brass, was very much in the mad scientist mold, more a Frankenstein thing, I guess. So the tone is right. The arc is right. There's some things that don't quite click, but they're small details of appearance, right? I think Nick Logue is writing a slightly more Victorian-looking city than the final will be. The final will be more a traditional fantasy with a hint of steampunk. No top hats.
Okay. So other than sort of some setting changes, if you would have had the time and you were writing this sort of a story in Zobek, how would it have been a little bit different? How would your style have shown up differently than Nick's style is?
Oh, Nick's style. Well, you know, he comes from the theater, right? He's got all this theatrical training. He works on the stage. So his sense of drama and improvisation and storytelling as spectacle is really, really strong. Much stronger than mine. I tend to prefer a sandbox kind of approach where I say, okay, here's a character and here's another character. And I think Nick's approach has a stronger narrative. He's got definite arcs where I tend to say, here's some motives, see where they go. And his sense for horror is, I mean, I'm pretty good at that. I love writing mythos stuff in a Lovecraftian style. I love my ghouls and the undead. So I can write horror, but Nick has a visceral sense of what's disgusting and horrible, and he's kind of gone to town with that. Yeah, I don't know how much of it I want to give away. It's just there was an entire discussion at the start where the patrons went round and round with Nick saying, "You got to draw the line somewhere." And he said, "Well, I'm going to push it as far as I can, and you guys rein me in when it's too much." And that's pretty much been the way it works, right? He'll go over the top, and everyone will say, "That's disgusting. I don't want to run that with my players." Or they'll say, "Yeah, that's great." And that's how we've been deciding, where's the line?
Okay. And most of that's happening then with the senior patrons?
Some of that's happening with the senior patrons, and some of it happened, oh, in that first 2 or 3 week period where everyone and their dog was jumping on the outline and trying to figure out where it fit in. Yeah. I think the regular patrons basically have sort of eased back and are mostly in a passive role right now. Not a lot of them are commenting. The senior patrons are getting most of the attention because they're getting all of the manuscript material right now. And the manuscript stuff won't be available to the regular patrons until the playtest kicks off in a couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah. I've sort of noticed on the patron end that there hasn't been a lot of activity for quite a while.
Yeah, and
Out.
part of this is, I mean, Nick was out, right, for a while, so we lost momentum. And part of it's just everybody gets excited at the start. This is normal with any creative process, right? Everybody loves the beginning and has lots of ideas and contributes. And then people kind of drift away, especially over the longer term. Some people stay involved, and some people are like, "Get back to me when there's a playtest," or, "I'll participate when there's a poll and I just need to click a button."
Right.
Yeah, things definitely have calmed down some. That early period, I think, was almost too much feedback because there were, 50 suggestions for where the outline should go. Well, there's only one outline, so Nick had to make some hard calls.
Sure. So how many senior patrons are there compared to regular patrons?
I don't know. I haven't done the math, but it's something like, maybe somewhere between 10 and 20% of the. I mean, there's like almost 200 patrons, I want to say, and maybe 30 of them are senior patrons. So it's a much smaller group.
Okay. So for the patrons then, what sort of advice would you give the patrons so they can sort of get the most out of this process?
Well, some of it's just, speaking up and saying, "I like this, please do more of that." Some of it's, if you ask questions, you tend to get answers. And some of it's stepping up and volunteering with some material. Joshua Stevens wrote up a gang called the Cloven Nine, which appeared in Kobold Quarterly 4. And it will be part of the adventure because, he just said, "I like the setting and here's what I'd like to see in the adventure." And he just kind of threw it out there. So patrons who write up a snippet of material, it may go nowhere. But if you don't take the chance, it definitely won't. So people kind of, it's a matter of, contribute as much as you have time for. No requirement that anybody needs to do a lot of writing or a lot of commenting. And some patrons are very happy just to say, "Here's some money. Let me know when it's done." And
Which
that works.
seems a little bit of an odd approach,
I
because
know. I'm like, well, you have this opportunity to talk through, from the foundational outline to what monsters do you want? How do you like your NPCs? What do you think of this mystery? What about the clues? Would you structure this differently? You sort of, I mean, to me, you're not really buying the adventure so much as the opportunity to have a pretty detailed back and forth with a designer about what they do and why they do it, right? You've got a few months for that discussion. That's what you're buying into. If you just want to buy an adventure off the shelf, there's easier ways to do that.
And frankly, cheaper.
And frankly, cheaper, exactly. Because, all of this time spent writing design essays and explaining the work and saying, here's the manuscript and let's do this playtest with you guys and a lot of polls, it takes time. So, it's a little bit more expensive than buying it off the shelf. On the other hand, some people are saying, we feel like this is another Eberron adventure set in Sharn because Nick's written so many there and it's got that flavor and we asked for that. So essentially we get another Eberron adventure. Like, well, sort of, not really, but it will be easy to translate. So what they want out of it really is another Nicholas Logue adventure that's easy to port into their campaign. I think different people get different things out of it. Some people obviously are in it because they care about the design and the construction and kind of following along what's going on. And some people just say, I want the coolest adventure possible.
All right, cool. So I think I read recently on the blog that we're at a point where you're on schedule in terms of getting in the cartography work and the artwork and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any artists or cartographers whose names we might recognize that are working on the project?
I don't know if you would recognize them. The cartographer is the same fellow who has done previous open design work, namely Andreas Riemer. And he is a professional cartographer. I believe it's his day job. But the maps he usually does involve motorways and, state and national parks or that sort of thing. So getting to do a fantasy project is always a kick for him, I think. He's done really nice work for Castle Shadowcrag, Steam and Brass, and he really pulled together some great maps. So I'm expecting something terrific there, even though I don't think he's that well known outside of the open design community. For artists, I don't know that the names are that big, but I'm very, very pleased with the results. The first pieces of art have come in and the first few sketches. I put them up for some of the senior patrons to see a while ago, and there's more to come. So, we're going to see the villain of the piece, well illustrated, several of the major NPCs and monsters. And I think it's going to work out pretty well. If you have an artist you like, let me know. I'll see what I could do. I haven't commissioned everything yet.
Okay, great. And what style of art would you say is going to be sort of the theme for the product?
Oh, it's very sort of Gothic Victorian. It's lightning through the window. It's maniacal. It's, anything like from the Frankenstein era fits pretty well. So the style is relatively realistic, in that it's not in a cartoonish or anime style, but it's kind of frothing at the mouth realistic, right? So they're having some fun with it. I think we're gonna get pictures you'll be happy to show your players.
Okay, good. So you mentioned that if people have suggestions or thoughts on the subject, they should get in contact with you. How can they do that?
There's a couple of easy ways to do that. There's, the standard email addresses. There's commenting on the blog itself, which is, actually the easiest place is the forums, koboldquarterly.com. You can also email me at wolfgang@koboldquarterly.com. And you can go out to some of the site description, which is wolfgangbauer.com, and that's where all the open design projects are described.
Okay, great. Do you have anything else you want to say to people who are hearing about the open design process, or
I have
to
one
pa-
other
pa-
thing.
Patrons in general? Go ahead.
Sure. The one thing I'd say is, this process, you get sort of the most bang for your buck if you sign up early. So right now we're wrapping up this one. If you just want a copy of the adventure and you're curious to see what sort of results this project leads to, well, then now is a good time to sign up because you have it in a month or two. If you're more interested in having the most impact in it, then we're going to be kicking off the next open design project in, about a month, sometime in May. And signing up at the very beginning of a project usually means you get to influence the outline and the direction way more than signing up at the end.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for joining us again, and we will look forward to the next couple of episodes here on The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon, where we'll find out more about how this is all shaping up.
Thanks.
Thanks again to Wolfgang for being part of The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon. Next time, I'm hoping that we'll have a chat with some other folks who have a voice in how this project looks. So in the last month on the project, there hasn't been a ton of activity. We get occasional posts on the blog, but not as many as we've had in the past, and my understanding is that this is due to delays with the author. Nicholas Logue has been quite busy lately, doing many other projects as well. And so they are a week or two behind schedule, it seems. The senior patrons have provided some feedback in various forms at this point, and have seen a copy of the manuscript for the adventure, so things are progressing. It's certainly true that the senior patrons have a lot more of an opportunity to provide input and feedback for the adventure than the normal patrons, but everyone does get a chance to see an average of at least one or two blog posts or design articles each week. Design articles, again, are advice articles on designing adventures or running a game, and they're well done and chock full of good ideas, something similar to what you might have seen in the Dungeon or Dragon magazines. So you get one or two of those a week as a normal patron, and some of it requires some feedback. But I can say that if you're not a senior patron, the amount of feedback requested of you has declined pretty significantly since the start of the project. So that's something you certainly want to keep in mind. Well, that's where we're at so far. In about a month or so, we'll get to hear from some of the other people who have had a hand in this project. So, thank you for joining us for The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon, Part 2 of 4.